said, $20. She goes, you paid $20 for that wig? I said, yeah. She said, why did you pay $20 for that wig? I said, that's how much it cost. She goes, I can't believe you paid $20 for that. I've got one in the vanity in the bathroom. I said, I know, but it wasn't my color. So, anyway, I hope that I haven't offended anybody by being silly. I apologize if I have. To what God's called us to, and that's to His love and His grace and His forgiveness. And it's nothing that we don't already know. It's something that we already know, but from time to time we need to be reminded. And so if you're new here today and this is your first day here, I am not the pastor of this church. So you can rest on that. But if you are new here today, we want you to know how thankful we are that you are here today. And if you're just barely new with us, we thank God for that too. And we want to love you up here. And we want to get back to the love that God's called us to. You know, I had this thing that I was going to read how things have changed over the last 100 years. God gave it to me at work the other day, and I was going to use it a little bit this morning, and I forgot it. But what it was talking about 1909 and the way things were in 1909, like the life expectancy in 1909 was 47 years old, 100 years ago. The average wage was like 22 cents an hour, like annual income was pretty low. It said, and here's why people probably only lived to be 47, it said most doctors didn't have a college education. So I thought, well, that explains that one, you know. But it had a whole list of things that change. And I thought about that, and I thought, you know what? There's something that doesn't change. And that's God. God never changes. His word doesn't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's still no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. And Jesus said, I'm the truth, the life, and the way, and no man comes to the Father but by me. And that's still the same today. There's no other way that man can enter into the kingdom of God, into a relationship with Him for eternity, without faith in Jesus Christ and what He has done on a cross for us. And so, His love being demonstrated for us is such a powerful statement to what our love should look like to one another. And the Word talks about our love for one another so much. And yet, the church runs around wounding its own, shooting themselves in the foot. You know, and it breaks my heart. I got to tell you, before I pray here, some of us know that the people that have left, I thought a lot of them were people not showing up today because I was going to be here, but I see a lot of empty seats. And, you know, I did invite all my kids to come just in case nobody showed up. And I told them to invite all their friends. Only two came. Thank you, Josh and Jen. But anyway, I want to get serious about this. So I'm going to hide this so you're not running around. Let me pray. Father in heaven, how thankful we are that you don't change, that your love remains the same, that your forgiveness, God, is why we're here. Without it, we're lost. So, Father, I just pray that you remind us today of the kind of love that you loved us with, and help us to love you first and others so that that love might be clearly seen to a dying world. Father, I just ask that I'm as silly as we can be. Father, I just pray for serious time here and ask that you would empty me of myself, God. In Jesus' name, amen. I did take some notes. My wife said, you better have notes. but I'm not real good at notes, so I'm going to wing it mostly. But I'm going to read 1 John here, chapter 7. I cheated. I had a marker in there, so if you want to go there, you can. I mean, it's chapter 4, verse 7. It starts there. It says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love." So love is all you need then. "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into this world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, dear Cool Community Church, Christians on the divide, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us." You know, I wasn't raised in the church. About 20 and a half years ago, I began to seek God pretty seriously.
Oh, hey.
Anyway, like I said, I've only been a Christian 20 and a half years. I'll be 21 in August. So I'll be a fully mature person by then. Not. Anyway, about 1988, this building just had walls framed up, no trusses. There was no walls back there. There was a platform there and a platform over there with no stairs. And I'd come to the place where I needed some real serious answers. And I called Pastor Tim at the time, and he called me because I had gave him my number out. He called me up and met him down here, and I prayed to receive Christ sitting on that platform up there, and my life did a 180-degree turn. 180 degrees. I'm telling you, my life was nothing to be proud of. A lot of people know that. I have witnesses here to testify to that. But upon coming to faith in Christ here at this church here, this is going to be hard for me. This church here has inspired me and encouraged me in my faith. And I swore I'd never leave Cool Community Church unless they started teaching heresy. And it hasn't happened yet. I'm still growing, I'm still learning, and I'm still learning how to love the right way. I want to change. I want to become more what God wants me to be, because I want others to know the God that I know, the God that loved me unconditionally and gave his Son for me. I want to learn to be more humble, like Doug Brown. Doug Brown is a humble man. If you know him, you know he is. I want a passion for God's Word like Harry Crowfoot. You know Harry? You know he has a passion for God's Word. I want to be more of a servant, like Steve Heimbach. You know Steve Heimbach, you know his servant's heart. I want to have a smile on my face, like Linda Ricketts. When she can't even get out of her wheelchair, she's smiling. That's what I want. And I want a faith that will stand firm no matter what. Maybe it's shaken through trial or tragedy. I want a faith that you can't move, like Sally Dyke when her daughter was killed in accident in Africa. That's the kind of faith I want. And that's the kind of faith that God's calling us to. But it's done in love. It's done with patience and forbearing with one another. It's done in forgiving one another. I've been forgiven a lot. A lot. I remember when I first became a Christian, the first thing that I did, I wasn't married to my children's mom. She divorced me because of the guy that had hair like that and smoking funny things and doing a lot of weird stuff. And she had every right to. I was unfaithful. But I called, I had the kids for the weekend, and she lived in Reno, and we were meeting in Soda Springs to change the kids. Tiffany was 12 and Nicole was 8. We met at Soda Springs. It was snowing. I asked her if she could get in my car. I needed to talk to her. And she got in the car, and I asked her. I started to cry. No, I was going to say I want to be a crybaby like Mark Kuntz. Where's he at? I'm still learning. I'm doing that, too. I'm getting there, buddy. I looked at her, and tears began to flow down my eyes. I couldn't even hardly talk. And I said, I need to ask you to forgive me. I need to ask you to forgive me for not being the husband that God calls a man to be, not being there for you, not nurturing you, not supporting you. And I've left you to raise two girls on your own as a single mom. That's not the way God designed it to be. I'm so sorry. I said, could you please find it in your heart to forgive me? And we're all bawling by then. The whole car, the windows are fogged up. I don't know what people were thinking, but I was crying like a baby. And she cried and said, yes, I forgive you. And a weight was lifted off me like I could never imagine. I knew God had forgiven me, but I knew that she was still angry and hurt and bitter. And so I asked her to forgive me. And just this couple weeks ago, as I was thinking about coming up here and sharing at this time, I asked my girls, do they remember that incident? And Nicole says she remembers a bunch of crying. And Tiffany, I praise God that Tiffany remembered, and she told me that it was probably a monumental pivoting point in her life, because at 12 years old, she was beginning to see the kind of father that I really was, and it was beginning to affect her. And she said to me, she still, to this day, tells people about that, to this day. I called my kid's mom, and I asked her, I said, do you remember that time up at Soda Springs? And she said, oh, yeah. She goes, I said, well, tell me what that meant to you. She said, oh, that was a life-changing experience for me. She said, I hated you. I hated you. I was bitter and angry and resentful. But I could see that you were sincere, that your heart truly was repentant, and that you truly were sorry. She goes, I instantly forgave you. And it was the biggest weight lifted off my shoulders. And we've been building a house for the last 5 years, and I've always wanted to have all of my kids together for Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving was such a blessing because they could have their mom at our house for Thanksgiving. Because forgiveness was real. It wasn't a phony. It wasn't like, okay, I forgive you. It was real. That forgiveness was real. When we sat around that table at Thanksgiving, this last Thanksgiving, first Thanksgiving in our house, and we went around to say what we were thankful for. And Robin said, I'm so thankful that Arlene's here to be with her kids so we can all be together. Oh, man, I tell you, I was so grateful. I couldn't even talk. Like, I can't already talk now. I couldn't do it. It was just so awesome. It was so awesome to see the power that God offers us through forgiveness. The life-changing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. That's what the gospel is. It's a message of love. And the power of forgiveness. That's why we're all sitting here today. We've all been forgiven if we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior and what He did on the cross for us. That's what it's all about. And yet, somehow or another, we hold in things. We hold on to things. We hold on to issues. You know? I mean, I love this church family. But a lot of you guys know that I love the body of Christ. Because we're all one. You know, that's why I run the Divide Wide Men's Breakfast, because I love unity in the body of Christ. And God calls us to unity, not only as a corporate body, He calls us to unity right here, all the way down to our families. If we're not loving, He said, if you don't love, if you don't forgive, what did Jesus say? If you can't forgive, your Father in heaven cannot forgive you, or He won't. And we harbor unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment for little things. You know, I was at a men's conference with Kent Craning here a few weeks ago, and we had some small groups after one of the guys spoke about forgiveness, actually. And we were talking about forgiveness, and I began to share the story that I just shared with you about asking for forgiveness. And I didn't even get into it, hardly. And this guy goes to me, he goes, let me ask you this. He said, what if I killed your daughters and asked you forgiveness? Could you forgive me? Well, you know, that was kind of a shock at first. I mean, at first, my first split, just for a little, but this thought was, I didn't say it, but for about that long, I thought, you kill my kids, I'll cut your head off. But that was just for, you know, and then I just sat there and said, Lord, take over, you know. And immediately, a story of forgiveness came to mind. And I said, you know, buddy, I said, if I saw true repentance in your heart, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that you were truly sorry and broken over what you'd done, I would ask God to give me all the grace He could muster up to give me to forgive you. And the other guys in the room were going, yeah, right. And I said, because it's possible. In Christ, it is possible. Anybody remember Charles Manson? Tex Watson, ring a bell, one of his cronies who was responsible for killing the actress Sharon Tate that was pregnant and another couple, the LaBiancas. Well, Tex Watson was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And in prison, became a Christian and began to study God's Word and do ministry in prison, knowing he'd never get out. And he was getting letters back and forth from different people, and he got a letter from a woman on a regular basis, and they talked about the Lord in this letter. And so she asked him one time if she could come and visit him. And he said, sure, you know. So they planned this visit, and they got together and had a great conversation about the Lord. And at the end of their meeting, before she left, she said, I want you to know something. I had another reason for coming. She goes, I wanted to see if your faith was real. I wanted to see if you really believed that Jesus Christ was who He said He was and did what He said He did it for the reason that He said He did it. And she said, I can see that you're sincere, that your faith is real. And she goes, I want you to know I came here to ask, to tell you that I forgive you for killing my parents. And this guy immediately just quiet, and everybody else went, whoa. And I said, that's the power of forgiveness. And that's the forgiveness that can only come through the grace of God. Now I'm at the end of where I lost my notes here. My basic reason for wanting to share this, really, is that I feel like this church has been so much to me, and that God has meant so much through this body, like I shared, that I really feel like the enemy at this time, not only here at Cool, but I tell you, I have affiliations at all the churches up here. I know and love them all. And the enemy is very busy because we have a unique opportunity up here that I don't think a lot of communities have. We are divided off from the world, so to speak. And there's a handful of churches up here. And if God really got into us the way He wants to and was allowed to have His way in our hearts, this community would be totally different. People would be driving over here to see what's going on, not driving over there to see what's going on. You know, we can change and impact this community if we get rid of self. And that's what it's going to take. And that's the only way you can forgive like God wants to forgive, is to die to self. and give up self. And so my heart's desire is that we, as a body of Christ, would examine our own hearts, each one of us individually, me, you, looking into our own hearts, because that's where it starts. You know, somebody would say, we need to have a revival. Dennis wants to have a revival, and I say, amen. But to have a revival out there, we got to have one in here. And we got to catch up, and we got to get on fire. We got to be burning with passion and love for Christ. Because He loved us. He demonstrated in a powerful way. No greater love than one lay down his life for his friend. And we just kind of take that lightly after we've been a Christian for a while. We're supposed to remember that. That's what communion is for. That's why we take the bread and the cup. Remember what Christ did for us. And that should keep us burning. But somehow or another, it's becoming a ritual. And we just pass the cup and go out singing hallelujah. And, you know, I mean, I praise God for the servants in this church. I do. And the ones whose God has touched the hearts. Bob and Pat and their food ministry and those who are helping with that. What an awesome thing to reach out to the community and show the love of God. But we all have opportunities. Everywhere we work, our neighbors, we have opportunities to shine. But it's got to be special. If God's love is not like the love of the world, not this old kind of love, man. It's different today. We're in a new love generation when we accept Christ. That old 60s love generation is the old man. He's dead. He's gone. I'm talking about a new man in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things have passed away, right? They're gone. Unforgiveness should be gone. Bitterness should be gone. Anger should be gone. That's the old guy. We need to put on humility and compassion and kindness and goodness and those things. And it doesn't have to be, you don't have to be running a ministry or doing anything. I mean, I hear testimonies from people in this church just this morning. Steve Lee told me he gave his Bible away while he was out on taking some horses back east, and somebody didn't have a Bible, and he gave his Bible away. You know, Jeff's here telling us what God's Word does. God's Word is powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. We know it. Why doesn't it have more impact? Well, I don't know why in everybody's specific situation, but I think that God's called us to return to our first love. I think He's called us to return to our first love and remember what Christ has done. You know, it says in Corinthians, you know Corinthians, the love chapter? You know, you can do this and you can do that and you can know this and you can know that and you can give all the food in the way in the world, but if you don't do it with love, and I know Bob and Pat do it with love, I see the passion in their hearts and those who are involved in that ministry. I see the love. But if we're just doing stuff because we're church people, we need to have a passion and a burning love for Jesus Christ. We've got to get back there. We've got to go back to that first love. You know, back when I accepted Christ, I'm at Sally's and Phil's house for a Bible study. The pastor says, turn to the book of John. I said, I only got one book. I'm going to bring that one. You know, but the word, you know, they didn't tease me, make fun of me. I grew. Phil was my first discipler. You believe this, Sally? Does it blow your mind? I'm up here. Me too. But I'm really here just to call us to return to our first love. To call us to surrender those things in our life that are keeping us from that passion. I don't know what they are for you. I know what they are for me, and I got to get serious. And I don't want to do it by myself, because I can't do it by myself. I need the Spirit of God in me, and I need my brothers and my sisters. I need you. I need you. And I'm not joking. You know, I mean, I could just go through here and name names about how much people mean to me and have inspired me and encouraged me. And we need to continue to encourage each other. Scripture says, encourage each other all the more. You know, when Paul wrote the Thessalonians and says, I don't need to write you about love, but I want you to excel more in that area. More. And so I'm calling us, as Cool Community, to excel more in that area. I'm calling myself to the same thing. I'm not asking anybody to do anything that I'm not willing to do. Starts with humility. Starts with taking a self-examination and evaluation of our own hearts and the things that are in us that we know shouldn't be there. Whether we've been flirting with the world or having an affair with the world. You know, if you love the world, the love of God is not in you. And I'm not saying you can't have, you got to go sell your house now or anything like that. You know what I'm talking about. We need to have a love that's different than the world's love so that Christ can be clearly seen in us and work through us so that people's lives can be changed and impacted for eternity. I'm so grateful that my kids love God. What a blessing, because what they started out with, it's no telling where they'd be today. I just praise and thank God. Got my little grandkids here. You know, that's because I didn't know all you guys were going to show up. But I appreciate you coming today. And if you didn't know I was up here, it's probably a good thing. And if you came because I'm up here, whoa. I'm sorry. But anyway, I really want to encourage each and every one of you. And if you're new here, please, please, I pray that we would just love up on you so much that you just want to stay. And I pray that if there's anything that anybody in here is harboring against one another, you know, Scripture is so good, man. It is so good to teach us how to work through conflict. But we just don't want to pay attention to it. God says, how do we love God? How do we show love for God? Where is He? How do I love Him? He says, if you love me, you will obey me. That's how we show Him. We get to His Word, and we follow what He says. It's not that difficult, as some might think it is. It's pretty simple, but we need each other to stay on track. We need each other. We could slowly drift off, going our own way, and off the edge of the cliff, and I know some would have done that. So I ask again, whatever it is, today that you feel is in your hearts that has hindered you from knowing Christ, knowing what He's done for you, and that eternity is at stake. If you don't know Jesus today, you don't understand what it means to have a relationship with Him, I pray with all my heart that you will talk to someone here, me, one of the elders, or anybody, most likely, and find out what that means to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And for those of us who've kind of been on the fringes and just sitting out there on the edge and kind of just flirting with the world, I'm asking you to reconsider God's kind of love and His kind of forgiveness, because He's waiting to forgive. He's waiting to forgive. There's nothing you can do that's going to separate you from His love if you just come to Him. Nothing. And so, if you're out there flirting around with the world, give it up. Come back. Come back. Come back to His love. And if you're in the middle somewhere, just cruising along, in neutral, God's waiting to reignite a passion in your heart. He wants you to come back to Him and renew that fire that once burned bright. That's what He wants. You know, I got an example of God's forgiveness on the way to church this morning. I'm driving down the road thinking about sharing my love with all you guys. And as I'm driving down the road, I see this car coming down the other way. It has a white top and it's black. So I let off the gas. I don't even know how fast I was going. I just know I wasn't paying attention. And sure enough, it gets a little closer and it's a CHP. And I looked down at my speedometer, 63. Ooh, that's close. Well, that's because I'd been coasting for a while. Sure enough, I looked at my rearview mirror, and there goes his taillights on. And then he whips a U-ey, and I went, oh, great. Why weren't you at church today? You know, I was in jail. So anyway, the guy pulls me over, sure enough, comes up to the passenger window, and I'm getting my license out, and I hope none of you guys were driving by and noticed that, except Nancy. I know Nancy. She didn't know it was me, though. And the guy goes, "Well, where are you in a hurry to go to?" And I said, "Well, you ain't going to believe it if I tell you. You're going to think I'm trying to get out of this." And I said, "I'm actually going to Cool Community Church to preach my first ever sermon. Probably my last." And he says, "Well, you're in an awful hurry to get there." And he said, "Do you know how fast you were going?" I said, "Well, when I looked, I was going 63. And he goes, "Well, I clocked you at 70. And I went, "Ooh." And he goes, "Any reason why?" That's why I wasn't paying attention, officer. I was really thinking about what I was going to say. And he goes, "Well, can I have your license and your insurance and your registration, please?" And I went, "Yes, sir." I can't find anything, of course. I'm in Robin's car, and I know where nothing is. I know where mine is in my truck. And I call Robin. I go, "Robin, where's your registration? Where's the proof of insurance?" "Well, look here, look there." And I find the registration. I give him the registration, and I can't find the insurance. He goes, "Well, look." He goes, "You keep looking for that, and I'm going to go write your ticket, and I'll be right back." I said, "Okay." I should have told him I was preaching on forgiveness. But God's amazing grace, he comes back, and he goes, "Well, did you find that?" I go, "No, Officer Rice. I couldn't find it. She's got it at home." And he goes, "Well, I'm going to trust you on that one. I'm going to trust that you have insurance." And he goes, "And I'm going to give you a warning on the speed." And he says, "But I'm going to write you a fix-it ticket on not having your front license plate on there." I said, "Thank you, sir." He said, shook my hand, and he said, "No, wait till you get to church to finish your sermon." So see, God's forgiveness works all the way. I mean, God was forgiving me on the way here, you know. So anyway, we're out of time. You know, I know you guys would like me to go on and on and on. But, you know, I'm going to have to wrap it up here. So I hope that and pray as the worship team comes up. You know, I was struggling in my heart whether I should call us as a church to repentance and come up here and kneel on this altar and ask God to forgive us for anything, even if we don't know. Just for anything. Even if it's just to say, "God, reignite that passion in our hearts. Give me that fire that I had when I first knew you. When I didn't even know one scripture, I was so on fire. I couldn't memorize anything. All I know is that you forgave me and wiped my slate clean." So I'm going to say, if you want to do that, if there's something in your heart that's chewing away at you, and you want to come up here and kneel down and pray and just leave it here, you can do that. And I know all of us got something. And there's not enough room for everybody up here. You can do it right there. But I've been up here before, more than once, and asked God to forgive me many times. It's one of my favorite words. "I'm sorry. Will you forgive me, honey?" Anyway, so I'm going to invite you to do that if that's something you want to do. And we're going to surrender it all today. Okay? Let's do that. Let's get back to that first love and reignite that passion for our Lord and our Savior. Amen?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. And I surrender all, and I surrender all, and all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Let's stand together. And all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow.